Well, amen. Mark chapter 5. We're going to discuss the topic today of clean and unclean. Quickly this morning, we're in Mark 5. I don't even think we're going to go to James, unless the Lord wants us to, amen. But Mark 5, verse number 1. And they came over the other side of the sea, and yes, we did cover this passage last week, but we didn't cover this thought, into the Sea of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling amongst the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been oft bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters, which are like those shackles around the wrists and ankles, the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" Now Jesus asked him that question not because he didn't know, but because he wanted others to know that this unclean spirit had a name. And can I say, it's interesting, he says, and he answered saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Now this Legion, that term there is a military term, and it's a large company of in this case devils that are banded together in a military type of sense, which is interesting because we're told to put on the whole armor of God that we might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, and that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. And it kind of gives that thought that there are those, and also too, like the prince of Persia and the prince of all these different places, where it's as if they're in the demonic realm. There are these fortifications, if you will, these people, in a sense, the demonic sense, unclean spirits that actually are moving forward in bands and working together to accomplish their purpose on earth through people. Amen. Kind of gives that thought. And so Jesus says, "What's your name?" He says, "Legion, for we are many." And he besought him that he would not send them away out of the country. That is an interesting thought right there. Not much time to deal with that today, but that is an interesting thought. Please don't send us out of the country. Another passage actually talks about how they didn't want to go before their time to the pit, right? And so very interesting, verse number 11. Now there were nigh unto the mountain a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine that we may enter into them." Now, during the meeting at some point, I'm not sure when, it was just us preachers talking, but Brother Hewitt made this statement. I've really thought about it, and studying this text again just for this message just brought it back to mind. He said this: the unclean spirits besought the Lord that they might go into the swine because the swine were already unclean. It's not like they didn't have permission. They had allowance. So unclean spirits, if you study your Bible, you'll find this. I've been studying this topic. It's very interesting. Unclean spirits have permission to go into unclean things. Unclean spirits have permission to go into unclean things. Think of that, all right? And so, basically, they're called on the carpet in a sense. Jesus is dealing with them. He's casting them out. They don't want to leave. They don't want to leave this unclean man. But they said, if you're going to send us out, don't send us out of the country. Don't send us far away. Don't put us in a pit. But hey, oh, look over there. There's some swine. Just send us over there. Give us leave to go over there. And Jesus did just that. It says, and forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went and entered into the swine. And of course, the herd ran violently down to a steep place into the sea. Whatever possessed this man, the pigs couldn't handle it, amen. They're like, forget this. They ran into the sea, and about 2,000 of them, it says, and they were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. Verse 15, and they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil, and again, legion, many. and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Like, wow, nothing has healed this possessed guy until today. And when the unclean spirits left, he saw who did that. It was Jesus. And he actually came. I believe he got born again that day. And Jesus even sends him back to the town to tell people what took place. But I want to deal with the thought this morning very quickly in reference to the unclean. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for today. Thank you for this time to meet together. Thank you for the good service so far, the testimonies, and God, the song service. Lord, what a blessing, God. We're so grateful and thankful, God, to be amongst your people today. Give liberty now in the preaching. Give exactly what you want, God, through me, your preacher today. I pray you'd help now in a special way. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. In verse number 2, it talks about the unclean spirit. A man came out of the tombs with an unclean spirit. Now, many have asked the question, how does one get possessed by an unclean spirit? I think it's a valid question to ask. I know I don't want possessed by an unclean spirit, amen? And I'm sure you sitting here today don't want to be possessed by an unclean spirit anyway. And not, honestly, as you search the scriptures, it's a little bit of a difficult question to fully nail down, though there is a lot there. That's what we'll deal with today, what the scripture does reveal. You can flip back to Leviticus 7. In the Old Testament, clean and unclean was not a difference between being saved and lost. And I really want to make that distinction today because I believe a person can be saved and be unclean in a moral, ceremonial sense. And you're going to see why that's important. Now, I believe once you get saved, God cleanses you. You're cleansed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And as far as your soul and spirit are concerned, you're born again. You're made clean. But your flesh, the whole thought of clean, unclean has to do with your flesh. It always has. I want to show you that here very quickly this morning. There is a distinction to be made here. Leviticus 7 and verse 21. It says, moreover, the soul that shall touch any unclean thing, as the uncleanness of a man or an unclean beast or an abominable thing, unclean thing, and eat of the flesh of the sacrifice of the peace offering which pertaineth unto the Lord, even that soul shall be cut off from among his people. Now, what's interesting here in this text is it's talking about an unclean thing, being unclean, having touched it, and then going and offering spiritual sacrifices unto God. It actually talks about the soul here, how that soul is unclean. And by the way, I'm reminded of Judas Iscariot. We'll look back at him in just a few minutes as well. But Judas Iscariot ate unworthily. He hung out around God's people. He was there with the apostles. None of the other apostles saw him different. They wondered who it was at the Last Supper that Jesus was talking about that would betray him. They didn't just all of a sudden suspect Judas. But in 1 Corinthians, it actually refers to that when we partake of the Lord's Supper, which is remembering what was done by Christ on the cross of Calvary, he warns us not to eat unworthily, which is exactly what Judas Iscariot did. He was around the holy things of God, but yet unclean. And I want us to see this morning that when we're unclean, certain things actually do happen in our lives that are important in reference to what we do and don't do, or even can do and can't do. The first mention of unclean is actually in Leviticus 5:2. Leviticus 5:2. It says, or if a soul touch any unclean thing, whether it be a carcass of an unclean beast or a carcass of unclean cattle or the carcass of unclean creeping things. That's bugs, amen. And if it be hidden from him, he also shall be unclean and guilty. You're going to find a distinction here in reference to being unclean. It's when one would touch something that's unclean, they themselves are also unclean. So some unclean things were touching a carcass. That's a dead body of an animal, of a person. Both those were mentioned. And it even talks about how a woman, after she's had a child, if it was a man child, 40 days unclean, a girl, 80 days unclean, different message, amen. And then if there's an issue of blood of a female in particular, that makes one unclean, or a wound, male or female, that's oozing. That also makes one unclean. Taking your brother's wife in a sexual context is adultery. That made you unclean. Touching creeping things, those that don't like bugs, well, that made you unclean. Touching a dead body, of course. And then an open vessel. If you have an open vessel with things in it, like your store in leftover food, whatever, and all that, if it's open, if you left it open, sitting on the counter or wherever, and you didn't cover it, that vessel is unclean. And for you to touch that made you unclean. Is that interesting? All kinds of things in reference to clean, unclean, but it all has to do with what you touch and what touches you. It's all about the touch. The object that God told Israel was unclean was not necessarily sinful. Amen? A woman who had a child and is unclean, it didn't mean that she was sinful for having a child. But she's still unclean. A woman that goes through her monthly period of time and all throughout the month and all that, that's not a sin. But through that process, you're unclean because of that. Do you see that? Touching a vessel that's had, you know, maybe some moldy food in, or not even moldy at that point, just left uncovered, touching that vessel, it's not necessarily a sin that you touch that, but now you're unclean because of it. Do you see the difference? There is a distinction. Some of these, though, a brother taking his brother's wife and all that, sure, that's sin, and he's unclean because of that, and there's other things as well. By the way, getting leprosy made you unclean, but just being diseased may make you unclean. But that doesn't mean that you were sinful to become a leper. Does that make sense? And so there is a distinction to be made, clean and unclean. And by the way, clean and unclean wasn't just, I know it's, we've been looking at Leviticus, but it wasn't just a law thing. It wasn't a Mosaic law that brought that concept out. In Genesis 7, Noah's actually told in verses 1 through 3 there to take 7 of the clean animals. It was already a concept known about in reference to the animals. What was a clean animal? What was unclean? Matter of fact, in chapter 9, where he would sacrifice after the ark came to rest on Mount Ararat, he would sacrifice of the clean animals and not of the unclean. So even back in Noah's day, the concept was already brought forth. This is not just an Old Testament concept that we're talking about in clean and unclean. And God, Leviticus 20, others, he says, ye shall therefore put a difference between the clean and the unclean. Amen. Flip over to Luke chapter number 11. Okay. Who here believes in separation? Anybody? Believe in the concept, the biblical doctrine of separation. But Luke and I do. Oh, Brother John and I, oh, good, a couple others. All right. Let me ask you this question. Do you believe in separation from disease? Do you like that doctrine? Anybody like that? Separate? Anybody here just hoping to get some disease? Amen. Some nasty disease, flesh-eating disease. Anybody wanting that? Nobody? Anybody just need their armpit aired out? That would agree with me a little bit. Amen. All right, so we believe in separation from disease, do we not? How many here like separation from evil spirits? Anybody like that? A lot of hands. Amen. I like that too. I like separation from evil spirits. There is a distinction made in Scripture in reference to clean and unclean that it's dealing with separation, what we should separate ourselves from. And if we touch certain things, we've opened up ourselves to evil spirits because now we're unclean. The maniac in Gadara, who wasn't a maniac before he was possessed, amen, but he was unclean. He was unclean, and the unclean spirits had access to him. Do you know how you can keep from being accessed by unclean spirits? You know how? By not being unclean. And now it gets real. Amen. Luke 11. Luke 11, verse number 24. Luke 11, verse 24 says this. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest. It's amazing how unclean spirits, I mean, they'll go unto a pig if they have to, but they don't want to be in that pig. They want to be in people. Scriptures show that very distinctly. And guess what we are? We're people. So that's, they want to be in us. And if you don't believe that, I can't help you today because you're deceived and you want to be deceived. The reality is that unclean spirits want to possess us. They want to say, I'm saved, that can't happen. Hang on. Just Just study with me just a little bit today. I don't believe you can be possessed, but I sure do believe you can be oppressed, and they're not much difference. Not much difference there. Amen, amen. He says in verse number 24 that the unclean spirits, when he's gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest. Rest for him, trouble for the person, and findeth none. He saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. My house. He takes possession of it. And when he cometh, he findeth swept and garnished. The person got some things, you know, cleaned up in their life. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. It appears by a study of this topic that unclean spirits only have access to those that are unclean. And consider this. I'm going to read just showing Leviticus 5, Leviticus 7, Leviticus 11. It says, touch any unclean thing. Whoso toucheth their carcass. It's always about touch. Touch. What we touch. We know young people can't keep their hands off things. They touch everything. And a lot of things they shouldn't. Parents, we must teach our young people not to touch everything. Why? Because God wants to teach us as parents not to touch everything. Us as adults, quit touching everything. Why? Because what you touch does matter. Who you touch matters. Isaiah 52 says, Depart ye, go out from thence. Touch no unclean thing. Go ye out of the midst of her. Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. Look over at 2 Corinthians. Say, we've been in the Old Testament a lot. You are right. Let's jump to the new real quick. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. One becomes unclean by touching something that is unclean. Say, where do you get that from? Every time the Bible talks about unclean, it always mentions the word touch. You say, that's Old Testament. I'll show you in the New. We did just look at Luke. That's new. Amen. But if you're one of those that believes, no, we want to just stick with the epistles. We just want to stick with Romans to Hebrews or even on. Okay, here we are. 2 Corinthians 6, verse number 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Why? If you're yoked together, you're touching them. Amen. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? But I got friends, and I know they're wicked, but I just like hanging out with them. Are you insane? Do you like hanging out with people with a bubonic plague? I mean, most people are afraid of people that they have what's called COVID today. You know, it's pretty crazy. Amen. There are people still walking around saran wrapped, amen. It's just amazing. Amen. Do you want to hang out with people that have some disease? If you're an older person, you might not even want to be around kids that have chickenpox because you don't want to get the shingles. Right? We're careful about that, but we'll hang around those that are wicked, that are sucking down the alcohol like it's going out of style, amen, and puffing on whatever and smoking this and all that. We'll hang around those that are fornicating out and about, just living an immoral lifestyle. We'll hang around them and get so close that we can just absolutely, we're clinging to it. We're right there, touch it. Are you crazy? Say, where do you get that from? It's the doctrine of the clean and unclean. I'm not saying we shouldn't be close enough to witness. And what concord hath Christ with Belial? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What part? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. If you're born again, this passage is to believers. And this passage to believers who says you have the Holy Spirit living in you. You're born again. He says, what part have you with the lost, even with the unclean? And it says, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them and I will be their God. And they shall be my people. Look at verse 17. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Look at the promise. And I will receive you and will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Look over at Romans 14. In 2 Corinthians 6, Paul speaking to the saved and telling them to stop touching unclean things. Stop it. Are we to hold to what God said was unclean in the Old Testament as unclean? Not necessarily. Matter of fact, in Romans 14, 14, he says, I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus. Watch this. That there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. So it's not the thing. It wasn't the vessel that made the vessel unclean. It wasn't that at all. It was the fact that the word actually denoted reason for it being unclean. Do you know why God said, don't touch an open vessel that had food or whatever else in it left uncovered? Do you know why he said that? Because it will go bad. And if you eat that, you can get sick from it. It's unclean to you. It's not good for you. It's not healthy for you. And so it'll affect you. And all those things, that is the case. God doesn't want us to separate from those things that are good for us. He wants us to separate from those things that are not good for us. Watch this. It gets interesting. Clean and unclean has to do with our conscience that is led by the Lord. God has given us the Holy Spirit of God to lead us and guide us in all truth. Amen. And as we study our Bible, we learn, and even before, once you're born again, you all of a sudden know some things. There is a conscience on steroids now in the believer that tells us what's good and what's bad. Amen? That conscience is important to us. And God uses that to keep us from unclean things for us. Now, we can sear our conscience. And we can push that back. But even so, it's still there, that still small voice. And God is trying to keep us from the unclean. He says, when we esteem something unclean, it is unclean. But look at verse number 22 of this same text. Just to give you a little bit more of an understanding. What is it that's unclean for the believer? It says, hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he alloweth. That thing that you're okay with, that you've been trying to convince everybody else. By the way, people that try to convince me alcohol's okay. Are you out of your mind? Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. If you think it's okay to be a fool, when the fool has said in his heart there is no God, you're dumber than a box of hammers, amen, like I've heard people say recently, amen. You're insane, amen. If you think alcohol is okay for the believer, Bible says that we are to not draw nigh to alcohol, which there is no deliverance in, right? Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. That word excess is two Greek words. It's asoteria. It's no deliverance. Be not drunk with wine. By the way, all the alcohol places out there know what they're dealing with. They call it spirits. You can go in there and buy yourself some spirits, amen. Don't choose evil spirits. Choose the Holy Spirit. That's the principle of that text in Ephesians. Be not drunk with wine. Well, I can do it and be okay. It's not for kings, O Lemuel. It's not for kings to drink wine and strong drink. Why? Because you'll pervert judgment. Can you think of a time as a parent, that you're going to be okay? You're called upon at a moment's notice for your child to give them good direction. Can you ever think of a time that it's okay for you to be in such a case that you'll pervert judgment? I can't. I have a wife. I have kids. I'm a pastor. I can't think of it, amen. That's just one example, amen. And so we need to flee. By the way, flee fornication. The Bible says flee it. So many people think, oh, it's good for me. 1 Corinthians 7. Good for a man not to touch a woman. Interesting. Why? Because if you ain't touching them, you ain't doing anything else to them either. Amen? Touch makes you unclean. Go further, you'll fall into sin. Isn't that interesting? Verse number 22 back in Romans, it says this. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that which he alloweth. And it says, and he that doubteth is damned if he eat because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Here's the principle for the believer. If you can't do it by faith in the Word of God, it's unclean to you. If you can't listen to the music you listen to by faith, knowing that God says it's for you, then it's unclean to you. If you can't wear what you wear by faith, knowing that God said it's clean, it's unclean to you. Whatsoever is not of faith. It's in the context there. Yes, it's sin, but it's also unclean. It's in that context of Romans chapter number 14. Let me show you this very quickly, just this thought. We finished. Genesis 3, you don't need to turn there, but Genesis 3 was original sin. You have, by the way, how well do you think the evil spirits know the ins and outs of how things work in their realm? They're experts. How well do you think we know it? We're ignorant. Because we don't study, and we think we're going to be okay. Genesis 3, Adam and Eve, they're still without sin. The tree in the midst of the garden is growing well. I don't know what kind of fruit it was, but it was a fruit. I don't believe it was an apple. I don't know what it was. Amen? Probably passion fruit. Amen. Anyway, Eve made a statement in talking to the devil. She's already talking to the devil. Problem through the serpent. Nonetheless, she's talking, he's questioning her, and she says, no, we can't touch it. We can't look upon it and touch it, lest we die. The fruit. He says, thou shalt not surely die. From the day that thou eatest thereof, you're going to be like gods, knowing good and evil. Okay, a lot of people say that touching it was an adding to the commandment. I ask you this question, was that fruit clean or unclean? For them, it was unclean. What are we not to do to unclean things? Don't touch it. If you touch it, you become unclean. She wasn't deceivable until she became unclean. Do you know that what the world's trying to get us to do? Just touch what they're doing. Just touch it. You don't got to do it. You don't got to do it. Just touch it. Just touch. It's okay. You'll see it won't hurt you. Just touch. It's just a song. It's just a cigarette. Just touch it. You don't got to smoke it. Just touch it. It's just cocaine. It's just white powder. See, it doesn't. Just touch it. See, it's nothing. It's just a girl. I mean, they don't bite that hard. Just touch her. It's just a guy. What's it going to hurt to hold hands? Just touch them. Just touch her. That's what the world is doing. They're going around. Why? Why is the world trying to get us just to touch it? Just touch it. I'll tell you why. As soon as you become unclean, let me ask you this. What happened Old Testament when anybody was unclean in reference to the temple? They separated from the temple. Remember how I said this is a doctrine of separation? Man, I'm getting people bumps everywhere, amen. The devil and his minions are doing a really good job separating us from God's throne, the place that we find mercy and grace to help in time of need, from our prayers to God. It's a holy thing to be able to pray to him. It happened in the temple, I believe, right, where the priest would go in and make a sacrifice. The devil's doing a tremendous thing in getting God's people to just touch the unclean thing. It's not going to hurt. Yes, but it does separate you. It separates you from what's available for you, and it disables you from standing. And we're going to close in just a minute in Ephesians 6, and you'll see this. Just touch it. Old Testament, if you're unclean, you might just be unclean for a day. Right? Just until the even a part of a day, unclean until the even. Sometimes, like with the woman there after a child, unclean 40 days or 80 days. That's a long time. Sometimes different diseases, it was 7 days. You've come, you brought forth and said, I'm no longer unclean. And then the priest would say, do this, you know, offer that, whatever. And then 7 days later, you're clean again. You can come back into the temple. New Testament. What happens to us when we touch the unclean thing? Let's look real quick at Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6. Hebrews 9 is good on this. Haggai 2 says, "So is this people, and so is this nation before me, saith the Lord, and so is every work of their hands, and that which they offer is unclean." Why? Well, because it says, "If one that is unclean by a dead body touch anything, shall it be unclean?" The priest answered and said, "It shall be unclean." And so Haggai said, just like I gave you as example in the Old Testament, that's like you now in a real sense in reference to the work of your hands. It says specifically, "So is every work of their hands and their very nation." So many people want help from God and deliverance from God, but because you keep touching it, there is none there to help you. There is no help, there is no mercy, there's no connection. Remember back in 2 Corinthians 6, it says, "And touch not the unclean thing, and I will be a father to you." What's a father do for his children? He protects them. He helps them. He leads them. He instructs them. Wait. If I'm touching the unclean thing, then God is not being a father to me. Sure, I still have a Savior. His name is Jesus. But if God the Father is not being a father to me, what am I missing out on? Everything that I would be helped with from having an all-powerful, all-knowing Heavenly Father. Oh, I need help. You're on your own, buddy. If you want to live an unclean life, you're on your own. And you're miserable because of it. And you can do nothing of substantial nature in reference to the things of God. And you're wide open for the evil spirits to come and have their way with you. Are you crazy? Well, I'm not doing anything. Yeah, but you're touching it. You're touching it and you're touching them. And you think it's no big deal. But it is. Ephesians chapter number 6, verse 10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God." Armor. Armor is like a barrier. Have you ever thought about armor? I was looking into some body armor this last week, amen. I'm conflicted. I don't. Do you know what armor does? It puts a barrier between you and something else that would hurt, like if it's body armor or a bullet, whatever, projectile, it puts a barrier there. This armor of God puts a barrier between you and, well, let's read. Let's read Ephesians chapter 6. "Be strong in the Lord, power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil," the tricks. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And if you can't see, that's talking about the whole demonic realm of Satan. Verse 13. "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand." Say, I'm fine putting on the armor of God. Well, let's talk about what that is. It says, first off, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." Amen. And it's truth. Truth is actually, I had written down a passage here that actually had said directly. Oh, John 15, 3. "Now ye are clean through the word which I've spoken unto you." So how do I get clean? Glad you asked. This book will tell you what's clean for you and what's unclean for you. By the way, your conscience, by the Holy Spirit's already been bear witness to you. And what you know is wrong, if you'll go ahead and do it, you're unclean. You're unclean, you're crying like a baby asking God to help you. And God said, I can't help you while you're unclean. So how do I get clean? Stop touching what you're touching. Yeah, but how long do I have to wait? Could be a day, could be 7 days, could be 40 days, it could be 80 days. There was a woman in the Bible with an issue of blood. She was unclean all of her life. But that issue remained. As long as the issue of blood remained, she was unclean. It was after the issue was staunched, it was stopped, that she could then be clean. As long as you keep touching what you're touching, you're going to stay unclean. And God's not going to be a father to you. You can still be born again. He's just not going to lead you like a father would. Does that make sense? You need the armor of God. How do I get it? By the word of God. I'm clean through the word. What's the first piece of armor? Loins girt about with truth. If you're not willing to let God determine for you what is for you and what is not for you, then you're not willing to live a separated life. And if you won't live a separated life, you're not going to have the armor to separate you. It's the armor that separates us from the evil, from the demons. It's the armor. But if you're not willing to stop touching it, you have no armor. And you're on your own. How you like it? How's that going for you? It's good, ain't it? It's great. The devil promised you'd love it. He did. He promised it would be fun and only get funner. But all you've experienced is it's horrible. And all it does is get worse. Can I promise you something? It'll keep getting worse. So what's the answer? Stop touching it. See, you don't know I'm touching something. Yes, I do. Because you don't have the armor on. And you're struggling. And you can't get victory. Say, what's that mean? You keep touching it. You're unclean. Unclean people don't get victory. And even once you stop touching it, there's going to be a time frame to see how much you really mean it. What do you do in that period? The word is what will make you clean. Put on the armor of God. Your loins girt about with truth. And oh, by the way, the breastplate of righteousness. What is righteousness? What's right in God's eyes? It's you living by the word and being righteous. By the way, next is the feet shod with a start soul winning. It'll protect you. It's a barrier. Hard to sin with somebody when you're telling them how to get saved. If you go talking to someone about Jesus, they're not going to be like, hey, you want another beer? Not when you're saying, repent! Amen? Just don't go hand in hand. But you won't do it. And because you don't want to hurt your friend's feelings, you're unclean. And you'll never have victory. Oh, you're still saved. How do you like living that way? You hate it, don't you? It'd be willing to be clean. I've been inundated with this thought for a while. I can't stop thinking about it. It's powerful. Ask you a question. Number one, are you born again? And Bible does talk about us being cleansed spiritually when we get saved, made clean, cleansed. And that's good. But after we're saved, we can still touch unclean things. And when we do, oh no, we don't get unsaved. But we stop that ministry of the Father working in our life to protect us, to separate us from the evil. See, everybody hates the doctrine of separation until it comes from being separated from the devil. But that's what separation's all about. It's not separating you unto a miserable life. It's separating you from all that that's trying to destroy you. I like that kind of separation. Amen? I mean, I don't know about you, but I like separation. We're talking about it like that. But that's what God's talking about. But you got to be willing to be clean, to be separated, which means you got to stop touching the unclean thing. But as long as you do, I promise you this, that demonic world has got full permission to make your life a living hell. And God ain't going to stop it because you keep touching it. Wow. God, thank you for this day. God, I don't know who here is dealing with what, but God, thank you for the principle that you've given so that we might know the tactic of the enemy. All the devil wants us first to do is just touch it, just experience it, just hold hands with it, just drink it, just eat it, just go there, just be a part of it. Oh, don't participate actively, just touch it. And Lord, he knows that if we'll do that, we lose the armor, the protection of God, God being a father to us, and now we're on our own. And when we find ourselves like that, just like Eve fell, Adam fell, Judas fell, we'll fall. We can't help. It's horrible.
God, the answer is that we come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and be a father unto you. Help us, dear God, today. Might there be someone here today that's been touching things they shouldn't touch. They keep engaging with it, and they just don't see a problem with it because some I'm sure good-meaning saint somewhere told them, it's not a sin if you touch it, but they lied to them. And while it may not be directly a sin, it's setting them up to fall into that sin because they've become unclean. And the spirit world loves it when Christians touch unclean things so that they can have their way and torment God's people. Help us, dear God, to see the importance of this topic today. Might there be someone here that's lost, God? They're stuck. They have no possibility of armor. They need to be first born again. And then they can have that relationship with you that you might be their father. God, help us today to consider the teaching today of the clean and the unclean and how it works in our lives. Help us now, I pray in Jesus' name. Has my eyes closed just for a moment.